of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio station, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567. It's Trish Clark is with me today, the 2nd of July, 2020, and 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. And hello, Trish.
Good morning, Carl. It's 73 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. The high today will be 97 and a low of 63. And on Friday, a high of 95 and a low of 64. Independence Day, hot, 98, low of 63. And on Sunday,
I'm just singing along with Independence Day.
On Sunday, 97 and a low of 63. And on Monday, we're just going to hang right out in there in the high 90s. And the rest of the week looks about the same. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends.
It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer.
There you go. They should be. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Chuck's up in Maine, and I said it was raining.
In Maine.
And he says you can't take a step anywhere out in public unless you got a mask on. He says they're really into it. Hey, and speaking of COVID, Ashley is here. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. Happy National Anisette Day.
Anisette Day. Okay, and what else? What other kind of days are there? I know it's got to be more.
That's the only one listed. Yesterday we had four different ones, one of which I did celebrate, which was Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day.
What did you make?
I actually enjoyed it from down the street, but I had a Nutella bonfire s'mores mixed in with cookie dough and pretzels.
My blood sugar just went over 160 right there.
And most of that didn't even sound good.
Okay, my sister had the bourbon brown butter pecan.
Okay, I like that.
I could get that.
My brother-in-law had a roasted balsamic strawberry mixed with lemon speculoos, which is a kind of shortbread cookie.
Balsamic strawberry.
It works. It totally works.
Okay.
The idea was Creative Ice Cream Flavors Day, so we had to get a little creative on that
one.
There
you go.
Okay.
I hope there's not a happy mass murderer day because we
were going to talk about COVID?
Yeah,
so yesterday's numbers, we had 11 new cases, bringing us up to 129 cases. 9 are currently in the hospital. One of those in the hospital is not a resident of Shasta County. 2 of them are in ICU. We have almost 200 people in quarantine. We're still at 4 deaths, which we've been at for a while. Of the 11 new cases, only 6 of them had symptoms at all. And we had 2 women in their 20s, ranging all the way up to a man in his 80s. One of the new cases yesterday was hospitalized.
I understand the guy in his 80s, though, was dating that girl in her 20s.
Uh-huh.
So that it was just his own fault, you know.
Of course.
Somebody finally in our kind of our circle,
mm-hmm.
we had the first person whose brother and sister-in-law just popped positive.
Wow.
Showing no symptoms. Mm-hmm. But she is somebody we see semi-regular basis, but I don't think in the last 10 days. So now she's got to go down and get tested.
Yeah.
And as we all know, Les Baugh, who's waiting for his test to come back. And does it take a week to get your test back?
Well, I have a friend that's waiting because same deal. She was
Where'd
with
she get
a couple.
Tested at?
She got tested actually up at a clinic. And they've been waiting. Well, the other one got tested by the people that she thinks she was exposed through their son. They got tested at a doctor's office down here in Reading, and they're a week. waiting for their test results.
What do you have, Ashley?
Les Baugh posted 10 hours ago that he has a clean bill of health, out of COVID jail.
Yeah, but he got tested.
Friend's coronavirus
just a few
test came back negative.
His friend's coronavirus came back negative.
He posted his most recent post was 10 hours ago and saying clean bill of health out of COVID jail.
Yeah, he was. He was in self-isolation because he had been exposed at his church.
I know.
Supervisor Ball. Yeah.
Exactly. That traveled because we had a rumor that came out from some of the people who go to Supervisor Ball's church were discussing the case that was in the church, and they were overheard in the restroom down at the senior center. And so everybody panicked, and the health department got, you know. And I said, no. They weren't at the church service. They were simply praying for the person who had been infected from the the church.
Yeah, from the church.
But, boy, how do rumors just, you know, go around? Yeah.
Before we get to our guest, as everybody knows, there was a double murder up in Shingletown, and then a third person wounded and probably still in the hospital. The guy that did it, Sanders, is no longer with us. He was killed down in Southern California around Ontario. And no, it wasn't a police shootout. He was driving the wrong way down I-15, which, you know, the freeway there. He crashed into a median, then he crashed into something else, got out of his car and ran into traffic and was killed.
Drugs were involved?
I'm sure there were no drugs. Now, there's a sad part to this, but I'm not even going to talk about it. Okay. All right.
Oh, you're going to leave that part out?
I'm leaving that part
out. Okay.
But he's dead. So, and now everybody's going to go, what's that part? What's that? Trust me.
I will put it in the chat room.
We'll put it
then we don't have to put it on the air.
That's right. We'll put it in the chat room. And as somebody says, no Nick. Absolutely. There is a Nick. And he's right here. Good morning, Nick.
I'm here in the nick of time.
Where is I thought Kay was coming. I really like Kay.
I like Kay, too, and it's my fault.
Into the microphone,
buddy. It's my fault Kay is not here. Kay returned a couple books that I loaned her Saturday, and we sat down and had a talk about the protests here in town and what we thought about them, and she started dredging up these stories, these remembrances that she had from 1969 and 1970, and we had a fascinating conversation. And I said, Kay, why don't you come on the radio with me? We'll get on Carl Bott's show. And she said, yeah, that'd be a great idea. And I know you'd just love to have her on here telling
you. I really, really like Kay.
I do, too.
She's called in before when they were talking about Costco, about having to put it where it is now. Not where it's going, but where it is now. Well, you know, everybody liked it. And she calls in, not so fast. You put it right in the middle of our neighborhood, you know. And she said that really affected a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and she's a historian about things that have happened around here.
So Kay agreed to come on with me, and I called you up, and we made arrangements to come on Thursday morning. And, you know, I assume that Kay could come on anytime she wanted to. I can adjust my schedule pretty much any way I want to. And Kay had a previous appointment this morning that was evidently pretty important because she's not here. I know she would have loved to be here.
Yeah. Assumed, huh?
Yes. That's right.
In my world, anybody who has a commitment at 7 o'clock in the morning, what are they doing if they're retired? Why do you have a 7 o'clock commitment other than the radio show?
Well, it could be anything. It could be medical. It could be...
At 7 o'clock?
Maybe she's on the other station. Who knows?
She could be camping. This weekend is popular for camping.
There's another station?
Well, I don't pry into why people can't
I know,
be someplace.
I'm just kidding.
If they say they can't be there,
Kay,
I take their word for it.
Exactly. If you're listening, Kay, we're missing you. Okay, so what's the subject then? Except tell me the subject because then we got to take a break.
Okay, well, you have had a couple gals on here. We've got a gal in the chat room that are recent residences of Reading. The Record Searchlight has profiled four people now that are recent residences of Reading, in my opinion, and they are getting credit for putting on these protests, and the people that have lived here all their lives are wondering why the protests here. We don't have a problem here, and that's what I want to address.
Okay. All right.
And I'd like to go into the reason why the black people are so angry. Later, when we can, we'll have time. Why are they so angry? I mean, they've got a better standard of living than just about any country in the world here in the United States.
We're going to address that when we get back this break. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is the only place in town that I buy firearms at. They have a great selection. Great selection of firearms, first of all. Anything I've ever looked for. And I have an eclectic taste in firearms. Whether it's long guns or pistols or revolvers. And then they have all the accessories that go with it. Holsters. And, of course, being somebody that's in the instruction business, I of course, have a holster fetish, as do most of my friends.
All guys have holster fetishes.
Holster fetishes. I mean, you have a box of holsters, and you kind of go through them, and you go, well, I don't know. I haven't worn this one for a while. Maybe I'll put this one on. Then there's different kinds. But they have all the types of holsters and accessories and ammo that you want. You can get through the process of buying ammo there. I timed them one day. It took all of 3 minutes to go through the whole process of background investigation and all that stuff to get me my ammo. Gun repairs. John is one of the best people ever work on a firearm. And their personnel, all the people there, their customer service is just outstanding. Plus, John gives discounts to veterans. I can't think of another reason to go anywhere else to buy firearms. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading, open Tuesday through Saturday. 7:46 in the morning, and it's 73 degrees out there, and it's going to go all the way up to 96-ish.
7:16 in the morning.
And it's 7:16 here on the 2nd of July. We'll be right back.
Got it. Radio dialed in. Check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Summer Blast is live at the Shasta Public Libraries. Join in their free summer reading program for kids, tweens, teens, and adults. Going on all summer long. Help your kids avoid the summer slide and be a reading role model. Read to win prizes like books, gift cards, and a kids' kitchen playset and more. The more you read, the more chances to win. Let your imagination run wild. Read, imagine, learn with Shasta Public Libraries. Sign up online today at summerblast.fun.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, People retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Guys, he hit a homer when it came to helping people with the Paycheck Protection Program, plus hitting homers with all of their customers. They are constantly doing what customers want, like moving their dreams forward. That's what Cornerstone Community Bank does. And let me say that again, community. Locally owned, locally operated here. Board of directors are even local people. Three locations, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, one at 1845 California Street in the heart of downtown Redding, and, of course, out on in the old Rayleigh Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. You can learn more about Cornerstone Community Bank at bankcornerstone.com. Well, Trish and I are here today at 7:21 in the morning, even though I said 7:46. I'm not even sure where that one even came from. We're here with Nick Gardner. Nick is, how long have you lived here, Nick, your whole life?
69 years, 6 months and 22 days.
Moved here when you were what?
Born 60? Here. Born here. 50. 12-20-50.
You've been here, so you've been here your whole life.
Yes.
Before we get into this, but somebody that's been here his whole life, and I'm sure plays into this, what we're going to be talking about is. So, are you? Do you remember when I keep hearing things like Hilltop? There's nothing on Hilltop.
Oh, we used to have keggers up there when I was in high school with bonfires. It was a dirt road.
Hilltop
Hilltop, right? Now, tried.
Okay, but you were in high school in the '60s.
Yes.
And it was when did Hilltop start getting? See, somebody's been here his whole life. When did they start developing Hilltop?
Well, I couldn't pinpoint it right down
to
the year.
Around.
If I was guessing, I would say around 75.
Really?
And what really set it off was the mall in the Mount Shasta Mall.
Yeah. That was the first thing that was built out there. Mm-hmm. And that was in mid-70s.
And Lima.
By that time, they had roads, though. I mean, obviously.
Well, just up to there, mm-hmm. Hilltop Drive did go all the way through to Old Alturas Highway. Highway 299 wasn't there. Old Alturas Highway is where it is now, and it had a road that went up to 99. And there wasn't any houses or anything. It seems like Chuck Lima owned all that up in there. Mm-hmm. And he had a ranch and some nice ponds on it. And we'd go up there, shoot guns, shoot our deer rifles, sight in our deer rifles up there.
About where what businesses are located now in that area we used to go shoot your
Town and Country Mall.
Town and Country Mall.
Yes, Mount Shasta Mall.
Okay,
right up in there.
And that's where you. That's
well,
where you,
I remember on a walking trail down here above Diesel Horse Bridge that goes up to Keswick Dam. We used to ride along there in high school and for 5 years after high school, drinking beer and shooting at ducks with our rifles and just being wild as heck.
What about the...
Nobody ever got shot.
Nobody ever got shot.
No?
Well, yeah, we can all remember
taking
shotguns to school in our era. We'd hunt early in the morning for doves and then just go straight to school.
Well, that wasn't that far along because my son graduated from Anderson High School and they still have a skeet club up there. All the kids had guns in the back of their car when they went to school. I mean, a lot of the kids that... Yeah.
In 68, I remember deer hunting. I graduated in 69, so when I was a senior, I remember we would go deer hunting in the morning, just road hunting, I remember standing in the parking lot at Enterprise High School pumping shells out of my 30-30 onto the ground with the teachers driving by, and we'd just scoop them up, throw the guns in the car, and go to class.
There you go.
You know,
and nobody got shot.
Nobody got
guns,
shot.
Guns haven't changed.
No.
Guns haven't changed. People still...
Well, that's right.
That's right.
Guns haven't changed. Okay.
So what's really ticked me off is that we have all these new people that have come to town and brought problems with them that we don't really have here, in my opinion. I remember years ago, 30 years ago, people moving up to the Whitmore area and wanting to stop the subdivision. They wanted to put a steakhouse in there, and people were against it. And people moving up here and turning it into what they moved away from. And there's always been a controversy about that. If you like it up here, why do you move up here and want to change it into the cesspool you moved from? And so I was listening to your show last week, and you had a gal, well, it wasn't last week. I think it was 2.5 or 3 weeks ago. You had a gal, I think her name was Justine, and she was on two Fridays in a row, and the next Friday she had Tanisha on with her, and they were both here, have been
along
in here.
Along with the, Justine's been on twice, and Tanisha was on once, but they were all, they were both on with Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler.
Yeah, that's fine and dandy. But they are getting credit for setting up the protests. They were explaining why they had the protests. And then the Record Searchlight had a special on it a week ago Sunday, and there were three new people in Reading. Curly Wilson, who's been here since October.
Uh-huh.
He is a financial guy out at Simpson. Stephanie Miller, she's the longest.
I think he's a minister.
Yeah, he's a minister also.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, I've got the article here.
Okay.
Stephanie Miller, who has been the longest one in here, and I contacted Michelle Chandler and asked her how long she'd been here, and she said 2 decades, so let's give her 20 years. And Gloria Kimbala, and she's a new transplant. And they're getting all this publicity because they brought they lined up the protesters, and they say there's over 2,000 people that showed up. And I'm thinking, why are we protesting here in Reading where we don't have a racial problem? George Floyd got killed in Minneapolis. Why are we protesting George Floyd's death here in Reading, California? And then I wonder, would they have been taking credit for these protests if some businesses would have got burned out, if somebody would have got killed? Would they stand up and, oh, yeah, I brought this to Reading. I'm real proud of these protests. I, as a longtime resident here, don't think that we need this kind of a pot stirred up in Reading. We don't have a problem here, in my opinion. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, here's my opinion after listening to the two young ladies that were here, one Asian and one black, is that what their protest is a to bring justice throughout the United States, not just Reading. This was just one of the places that thought that and had, you know, has a number of people that thinks that things could be fairer, that there has been, when something like this happens to a man, whether he's white or black, and you can argue that if he had been white, would there have been protest? Well, no, but then again, I'm not a person of color. I haven't been pulled over because of my race. And I talk to people that weren't involved in this, that are people of color. And they're saying things like, yeah, this happens.
Here in Reading?
It's happened in Reading, yes. It may have been years ago, but it has happened. Or, you know, that things have happened to people right here in Reading. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. But again, I think of this as, have you ever been in a protest against anything or for anything?
Well, I've gone to a couple of the little...
I've gone to rallies for different things. Timber,
if you
when
use
we had the
word,
timber plan.
Yeah,
it was,
if you
yeah.
use the word protest, I'm protesting against the spotted owl, what they've done to our lumber industry. I mean, you call it a rally, but it's a protest, right? And I've seen them since I've been here, but they've been on things like our friends from the Patriot groups out there on the sidewalks, you know, protesting. They're marching down the street.
Open up the economy.
It's been open up
the
economy.
2 months ago.
Well, yeah, but there's been other times.
There's been many other times since I've lived here.
I've been in
so,
on yeah.
And so they've been, okay, and support Trump. Well, Trump doesn't come here. And but still, people have this right to feel like if there's injustice, I need to make a statement. And for many people of color, because it can't be all be made up, and like I said, I talk to people that are friends. Yeah, that happens. They're protesting about that. Now, does it mean is that we have a huge problem here in Reading? No, I don't believe we do. And people who have lived here a long time, people of color, said, no, we don't have a big problem here. But it still happens. And just to draw attention to it, which is what I believe they were doing, they were up front. They worked with the police. It was, I mean, the only problems we saw was in the media trying to make it bigger than it was of problems. And then the last rally protest, you could call it a rally or a protest, was in Caldwell Park. The police were there. The sheriff was there. They were speakers about equal justice and about justice in our country. You know, things like, and Bill Shuler sat right where you sat and said, you know, I don't think we should be going to every one of the, we're not social workers. We shouldn't be going to all these. We should, you know, there's mental health experts.
Oh, they absolutely should go to these protests. Their job is to keep the peace, in my opinion.
I'm talking about going out on a lot of calls they make.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, okay. my position is we don't have a problem here, and I disagree with you when it comes to people of color being pulled over in the last 10 years. I have nothing but respect for our police department.
They're professionals.
Going to pull over somebody just because they're colored. And excuse me, I'm using the word colored instead of black. I've got a book here, Out of Africa, or Out of America. It's written by Keith Richburg. And I've been criticized for calling blacks colored. Okay, here's a quote from him in the 70s. If you called somebody black, you had better be ready to fight. Blacks in those days, good black people, called themselves colored. And
in the 70s?
Yes. Well, you know what? In the 70s, I was 20 and 30 years old.
It's not the same.
I went to work logging, and I didn't pay attention to the news and what everybody wanted to be called since then. And when I say colored, I'm not saying that as a racial thing. I'm saying that's what they preferred to be colored at the time.
It's 1970, but things change, Nick. Things change.
Yeah, but old people don't.
Old people don't. Okay.
You know, I have to go along with Nick on some of that, because over the period of years, all the words that we grew up knowing what the meaning of them was and speaking them correctly and using them in our conversation, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and decides that a word we've used forever now means something else derogatory.
And makes a big deal about it, like you're using the N-word every time you see it. It's just like Revenge Anselmo. You got on me for calling him a revenge, and I still don't know what his name is.
Reverge.
I don't do that on purpose. I honestly thought that's what his name was.
His name is Revere. But the point is,
they're always looking for a reason to get mad.
Well, it's a political correctness, and I refuse to be politically correct.
Well,
I use a word. It's a word that I was taught in a manner that I will use it. And if you're offended by that, then that's on you. Because I didn't change the meaning.
Well, that's not true.
Did.
Okay, wait. We got to take a break. But see, that's not true. If you're offended by something I say, that's on you. Well, If I said, well, you know what? I used to call girls, you know, in the Marine Corps, there was a term called BAM. Now, you probably don't know what that means, but in the Marine Corps, it meant broad-assed Marines. And that was a term for women in the Marine Corps. Now, everybody used it. Was it offensive as hell to the women? Yeah.
But it was offensive then as well.
It was a word that was accepted for years, but was it offensive? Yeah. Did they say anything about it? Sometimes they. But you've got to accept this point. I mean, you don't have to. things change. And as things change, we have to change along with them. We've changed our ways. We do it. Look at a lot of things. And if a race of people don't like that word, they think it is a pejorative word. What's the big thing about that? I mean, African-American, black. I mean, what's the big thing? And if they don't...
just Americans?
Well, I'm okay with that.
I'll go with Morgan Freeman. You stop calling me a white woman, and I'll stop calling you a black man.
Okay.
And we'll all get along.
Well, it seems
and
to
right
me
now
like...
we're going
to
take a break, and we have people on the line. So this portion of the show, brought to you by Thursday, is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading is at Four Winds Jewelry. They have it all, from Native American jewelry to stuff that are to exquisite pieces that they have designed and built themselves there. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. And I think, this is one of your...
That's my favorite place to be.
You and Linda meet down there.
Absolutely. It makes me just... It's like a candy store.
Four Winds Jewelry. They are really fine people down there. We'll be right back with Nick and Trish and myself, and we'll get to the phones right after the break.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Hey, your phone line's here, 605-4567 here on the 2nd of July, 2020, 7:40 in the morning. Oh, gosh, it's going to, I think it's about 76, going up to 96-ish. You know, when I say 96, yes, it depends, because you could be one place in Redding and it's 94, another place it's 100. So, I mean, we have a
97 is the prediction, but.
Yeah, you know what? Get into your car.
That's at the airport.
Yeah, get into your car at noon or say 1 o'clock and you haven't been in it. I hope you've got a little steering wheel caddy over it, because otherwise you will meld your hands to the wheel and you just won't move.
But 97 is so much preferable to 110 or 111.
I have a tough time distinguishing between 97 and 100.
I have. You know what? And when it hits 100, I don't care what it is after that. Once it's 100. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at B&T Satellite and Doug Tooley. He's got $300 coupons in the mail. So start looking in your mail there to help get a $300 deal from B&T Satellite. Remember, B&T is a locally better-known business that's been in this business for a long time. And Doug is just great. You know, he helped us when we have our satellite dish up on top. They changed the satellites where all the signal was coming in. Well, when you change the satellite, the satellite you're using, you've got to move the dish. Well, you know, the way it's oriented. Well, you know, some people were charged an exorbitant amount of money for doing this. Doug came in and he gets a compass out. I swear to God. He looks at it, he gets a compass out, he adjusts it, boom, first time. Right on. This is the kind of guy he is. They're located at 1007 Dana Drive. Give him a call at 241-3474. Trish Clark and I are here with Nick Gardner. And Nick is saying, you know, we're having protests, but we don't have a problem here. And Terry's on the line. So, Terry, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. First thing, my wife and I have lived here since 1976. All four of our five children were born here, so they're all Shasta County born. My youngest daughter's two best friends are black. They were in her wedding. They've stayed here. They're like my kids, and we have Thanksgiving with them and my youngest daughter at Thanksgiving. Number two, Gregory Cheadle, who's black. When he first ran for Congress, he came to our house to see Sal and I. He wanted to run against Wally Herger. We talked for hours. We've been friends, and he's black. My best friend in college was black. And I didn't see an issue, and I agree with Nick. First of all, the chief was on the last time with those young ladies, but even remarked on your show that he wished he would have had a little more time to talk. The other thing is that there isn't any problem here, she's saying, or you're saying that it's not about that. And then you talk about how she felt threatened, apparently by some guy in a Trump hat or a Trump bumper sticker or something, that said, we don't want your kind here. And you're telling me that this is all about a protest not having anything to do with disrupting things. Again, it's been fueled by the media. It's been fueled here, unfortunately. And now these people want to have Sheriff McGreevy resign. And also, when you got to Nick, it was 23 minutes after by the time he was even able to speak. And I think that there has been, I think there has to be fairness in people giving their side of this stuff that's happening. And I agree with what Nick's saying. A lot of this stuff that's going on is happening. I don't know why. Maybe you can comment on that.
Well, here's what I'd like to comment. Thanks for calling, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
And today's, in yesterday's paper, I guess it was, or maybe it was Sunday's. You know, I get my days mixed up anymore. I'm kind of dazed and confused. I think Led Zeppelin wrote that song about me. Dylan Banks, who is a basketball player, I think he's a freshman, and I'm sure he's from Los Angeles, was in a... a protest down in Los Angeles, and he got shot with rubber bullets and tear gas. Well, what do you expect to happen when you go to a protest, a big one like that, where they're needling the police? You know, everybody's got a breaking point. But here's some quotes from him. I protest for the right to survive. Really? You know, he's up here playing basketball for probably, I would assume, on a scholarship, if not on a scholarship. What's to worry about surviving in Reading? You know, here's another one. I protest for people who can't protest and for people who want to see freedom for their ancestors and themselves. You know, I mean, come on. This is a quote right out of the Record Searchlight. This is stirring the pot.
Well, if you look at all the things, the issues that are going on in the United States right now, whether you want to talk about the riots, whether you want to talk about the COVID, or you want to talk whatever else is going on with the newest attempt to try to impeach President Trump again, the media is the driving point for 99% of it.
Well, you're not going to get an argument from me on anything like that. Right now, we've got an election going on, and you can say things that, you know, for a variety of reasons, plus the coronavirus that's here. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that because I know that's another 3 hours. But the fact is the media is a driver of this in many times. And one example of that, I'm not going to mention the piece. I mean, I've mentioned it before. When the woman wrote about it, the first protest, on that Tuesday, if you remember, I was there. I was driving around the periphery, and I was, you know, going in and out, and I talked to a lot of people. It was a peaceful protest. Both sides, we had the militia there. We had people that were really probably anti-militia and all this. So, but yet it was peaceful. And yet when it was written, the person said the people out there allowed themselves to be herded and act, you know,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, sheep type of thing.
Yeah.
There was no call for that because that's not what happened. But that in itself could ignite even more. I'm not saying is that this is the last thing here. I'm not saying Reading has a racial problem, but then I have friends of color. Yeah, there've been instances, but overall, this is a real friendly town. And I'm getting a lot of comments in here about the use of the word colored, and depending on what part of the country you're in, and maybe older people. Also the fact is they feel, you know, most people feel that there's no problems, but the people commenting are white.
Are you getting a lot of comments or just the comment from one person? NAACP, what's that stand for? National Association for Advancements of Colored People.
Right.
So if colored people so
have an organization that call themselves
insulting,
that.
Why haven't they changed it to BAM? National Association for the Advancement of Blacks.
Okay.
Huh? You know, okay. So I want to bring to everybody's attention a book I read, Out of America. This was written by Keith Richburg, a journalist for the Washington Post. And he was stationed in Africa from about 92 to 95. And I'll tell you what, you've got to read this book. It parallels what's going on in our country right now. And if you want to see what happens when a country falls apart, read this book. He talks about Somalia, Rwanda, Zimbabwe, and what happens when you lose the rule of law, which we are losing because look at the way the police have been neutered. You saw the videos where the protesters are standing 6 inches from their face, yelling at them, probably spitting on them. If I was a police officer, I would have had a tough time not knocking them in the head, and I mean real hard. Everybody has a breaking point. And when it comes to books, I want to point out that Ashley gave me a couple copies of her book, and one of them. She's got two books, and I picked one up this morning and read about 20 pages, and I just found it so interesting. This is a book I'm going to have to read. It surprised me, the quality of her writing. But getting back to where we're at, why is there such a protest when you have, a white on black people killed is 0.35 out of a million people? Whites killed by blacks is 11.30. Whites killed by whites is 10.84. And blacks killed by blacks is 57.14.
And now you're confusing the issue with facts, Nick, and they don't want common sense, and they don't want the facts, and we don't want
facts.
To talk about
we
it.
We need facts from the newspaper because
well, you're
they're
not going
hurting
to get
us.
And we need
the
to
newspaper
take a break.
Is hurting us, just
yes,
like
they are.
You said.
Well, I think the media is has taken sides, and I really believe that. They've taken sides, and we have gotten past a point where it's news, mixed with opinion. So when you hear it now on that one I was writing about, that was not a mainstream newspaper. That was an online.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I know, but when you start mixing opinion in with news, is where people start getting confused because now you're hearing what a person thinks the news is, as opposed to just reporting who, what, when, and where. But we got to take a break.
I must have done pretty good if you got to take a break to shut me up.
No, it's everybody that's on. Whether it's
we
you
are five
or,
minutes overdue. It's my
whether,
fault.
Whether it's you or the congressman or anybody else, we do this so that we
oh,
can continue
I know it.
To give you
take your break. I need
well,
some time.
Well, it's important to take the breaks because otherwise none of us will be here.
None of
talking.
Us will be here. That's right. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy Maxwell has been doing this since 1993. She's built a fantastic business. We have our insurance with her, and we're very happy we are. She's got us the best rates possible. She cares about her customers. If you've got a problem, you need to give her a call. You know, especially getting homeowners insurance during this fire season because you know they're going to start canceling insurance again. If that's the case, you ought to talk to Judy Maxwell, 221-0441, or stop by 1378 Hilltop Drive. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Put it on pause for a second, Nick. Let's go to the phones. The phone lines are backed up. So, Margo, good morning.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. This is Margo Wilson. And
somebody that gave her whole
here,
name.
And believe me, hi, I've been taught to get along with everybody.
Good
and
idea.
That's the only way we're going to make it here.
Yes. Yes.
I hate to see my hometown turn into a bunch of malarkey.
You think that's
happening? Is that okay if I can use that on the radio station?
As long as it's not hyphenated. Do you think that's happening, Margo?
I used to live over there. I lived on Dana Drive, and I was raised there until 1990.
Okay.
And it was a very fun place to do your hunting and your scouting and whatever you want to do. But I have been taught from my parents, and everybody knows, we got to accept everybody for who they are. There has been some injustice for white people, too.
Yes, there has.
With the justice system myself. And I didn't go after everybody. I was very disappointed. But I have to remember, we have to grow up. And I love my hometown. I know I lived in Anderson for... Hi, Trish.
Hi.
I've lived in Anderson for almost 20 years, and I love both places.
Yeah.
So my heart is in both towns, and I think that you're right. The media does have a little problem with making things sound worse than they really are. I remember back in English class, okay, it's just a thought, but we have to just really try to do the best with just getting along.
Okay.
And I know we've all heard this before.
I think that's a great sentiment. We do have to get along, and it goes back. I had Doug Craig on, and some of the things he said was, essentially, is treat each other like we want to be treated. I think that solves all the problems.
There. If we could just as a society start celebrating the fact that we're Americans, we live in a great country. We here in Shasta County, we're blessed by the best possible place to live with just.
And we are the friendliest people around.
And that's exactly right. But we need to celebrate our likeness and stop celebrating our diversity. Stop talking about our differences.
So
talk about the things
we
have in common.
Okay. Hey, we got somebody else on the phone, too, Margo.
Anyway, I just wanted to cheer everybody up. So.
Oh, no.
Hey, we're happy.
You guys are all great.
We're happy in here. We're happy in here. It's, you know,
take care, Nick.
See ya.
You know, we have...
Bye.
Goodbye, Margo. Thank you for calling. What we have here is, you know, I don't think anybody... I know nobody here sitting in this place believes that racial injustice should happen. Or how about this? Injustice.
Just any
injustice. And
no, that's like saying all lives matter, though, and that gets you in a whole bunch of trouble.
I don't believe it happens in our hometown here. I think if it does happen, it's brought on by their attitude, maybe their dress, their behavior. I don't see the cops pulling people over because they look funny. I don't see them frisking and searching.
I have not. You know what? I haven't seen that either. But...
I've heard stories that I don't believe.
I'm not out there 24 hours a day. Anyway, okay, let's go to Richard.
Morning, everybody.
You got one minute.
Okay, you know me, in and out. Dr. Ben Carson, former presidential candidate, has a book out, four, five, 6 years ago. I forgot the title of his book, but he does an excellent job of discussing political correctness and how it is destroying our country and our culture. Highly recommend it. Thanks for having Nick on. Bye-bye.
You bet. Okay, Nick, you get final.
I've read that book, and it's an excellent book.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I get 5 minutes.
No, you get a minute.
Okay. Here's a quote from someplace I read this. Some folks seem to forget that the colonies were British territories run under British laws and enforced by British troops. It was British ships that bought the slaves to America. You know, I mean, you can't blame this all on the United States. We weren't even created like this. Here's an article, Every Drop of Blood. The common accepted death toll for the American Civil War was 618,000. That figure has recently reliably revised upwards to 750,000 people that lost their lives freeing the slaves.
Wait a minute. That 750,000 was everybody. That was both sides.
That's absolutely right.
Well,
and it was,
half of them weren't fighting to free the slaves.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention,
just,
Carl. I appreciate
that.
In the battle to free the slaves.
In the battle to free the slaves, 718,000 people died. Yeah, uncle for that.
Okay.
But it was not all of them were fighting for freedom. And we have to run. It's 7:59 and 30 seconds. Nick, thanks so much for coming on. You brought up a lot of good issues. We had a lot of good comments. I'm sorry, Dolores, we didn't get to you tonight, today.
You need to have me on next week. We didn't touch but about a quarter of what I wanted to talk about. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
You need to have your own show, Nick.
Okay, line me up. Sunday mornings from 8 to 9.
8 to 9. Well, just bring me a check. All right. Hey, when we come back, we're with the Anderson Fire Department.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump is crowing about a record employment report.
The U.S. economy added nearly 5 million jobs in June.
This is the largest monthly jobs gain in the history of our country.
Encouraged by the jobs report, the president held a White House briefing to boast about the economic rebound from the pandemic recession.
Today's announcement proves that our economy is roaring back. It's coming back extremely strong.
He also highlighted improving retail sales and consumer confidence and warned about electing a president who would raise taxes. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The nation's highest court has handed the president a victory, at least for now.
Congress will not have access to secret grand jury testimony from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation through the November election. That's the ruling from the Supreme Court, which agreed today to hear the Trump administration's appeal of a lower court order for the material to be turned over to the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives.
Correspondent Jeremy House says the ruling means the House will not get the documents until next year at the earliest, if at all. New coronavirus infections in the U.S. rose by about 50,000 yesterday. It's prompting some states to reimpose certain restrictions. California's governor ordering bars closed. Indoor dining at restaurants is banned in 19 counties. L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti says non-family 4th of July gatherings will not be allowed.
Los Angeles, don't let up. I know you can do it. You are powerful when you exercise that judgment, when you make the right decisions, and you take back this moment from COVID-19 and return it to the people of our city.
Stocks are higher on Wall Street in light of the strong jobs report. The Dow is up 151 points, the NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 95, and the S&P currently 23 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market, have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
China is angry with Britain for extending residency rights for up to 3 million residents of Hong Kong, a former British colony. The UK made the move after China tightened its grip on Hong Kong by adopting a new national security law.
The language was strong, but Beijing hasn't yet revealed how it will respond to the UK government's new BNO passport policy. Foreign Ministry spokesman Jiali Zhen said that Hong Kong's BNO passport holders are all Chinese citizens and that Britain had promised not to offer them residency. Now, he said, the UK had, in total disregard of these promises, changed this policy. He said China reserved the right to further actions and that the consequences will be borne by the UK side.
That's BBC's Stephen McDonnell. London accuses Beijing of breaking assurances it gave when the UK transferred Hong Kong back to China in 1997. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Senate Majority Leader McConnell declaring the House Infrastructure Bill DOA in the Senate.
Leader McConnell calls the $1.5 trillion green infrastructure bill absurd. It would use that funding partly as incentives to pressure states to commit to cut greenhouse emissions and make other climate concessions. McConnell says it's a bill drawn up to please the far left, so in his words, quote, this nonsense is not going anywhere in the Senate. The Senate has already passed its own infrastructure bill in committee, and the House bill faces the threat of a presidential veto. Bob Agnew reporting.
Seattle's protest zone has been disbanded, authorities citing surging violence in the so-called CHOP zone. Police Chief Carmen Best says peaceful protest is one thing, but this was not that. Police moved in yesterday after Mayor Jenny Durkan, who once spoke of a summer of love in the police-free zone, issued an executive order to end the occupation. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone line 605-4567. You can hear us there on FM, AM, or KCNR1460.com. Get into our chat room or listen to us as we stream all over the world. I'm here today. Thursdays are me and Trish. Trish Clark, of course. Famous. Trish the Dish. Now, do you mind that?
No, I don't.
That's not pejorative, right?
I picked up that nickname, and I had that nickname for a whole long time before I ever knew I had that nickname.
Yeah, I know. It's behind your back.
It was behind my back. No. The Anderson Police Department is the people that started that originally.
I need to finish through with this thought, though. Uh-huh. Okay. So the Dixie Chicks, as we all know, the famous Dixie Chicks, they said, oh, my God, Dixie, that's horrible. So we're changing our name to the Chicks. Now, I wrote this after somebody said it. I said, well, in many places of the United States in the world, chicks is considered pejorative. You know, that's a cut on women. Oh, yeah. Look at the chicks. And even the person who said it said, oh, Carl, if you said it to me, it'd be okay. But somebody just said, oh, hey, here, you know, great chick. During a business meeting, she said, I would really be offended. Well, that's true. So I think really the Dixie Chicks who became the Chicks should be called the. That way nobody's offended.
Well, I think I just won't call them at all, and I would just ignore them, and I'm happy with that because they've never been a big favorite of mine anyway. It's 76 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 97, a low this evening of 63, and on Friday, sunny with a high of 95 and a low of 64. On Independence Day, July 4th, hot, a high of 98 and a low of 63. And on Sunday, a high of 97 and a low of 63. That's going to continue pretty much into next week. Thank goodness we're not hitting those 100 degrees and above. I can kind of handle everything up to the 100 degree mark, and then it just goes from there on. You just can't get there. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, and or it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, if you didn't hear in the first segment about the killer up in Shingletown, they killed the two people and left the last one in a critical condition in the hospital. He was killed yesterday in a bizarre traffic incident where he was driving the wrong way on I-15, hits the median, goes across the road, hits another median, stops, gets out, and runs straight into traffic, and was killed on the freeway there, pronounced dead. Really bizarre. So, I mean, I'm sure drugs had nothing to do with it. And, I would like to talk, just for a second before we start, with Chief Steve Lowe, who is the Anderson, Chief of the Anderson Fire Department, because there's so much stuff we want to talk about. I want to talk about that young man that passed away, that was the sheriff's deputy who worked in corrections. I talked about him once before, too, but it's a strange thing. A healthy young man that just passes away like that. But, you know, talking to somebody, and I said, you know, a lot of times heart arrhythmias will start. You go to sleep, you just don't wake up. Mm. And but the thing about it is he touched so many different people in such a good way. And we know his family. I did not know him at all. But I knew his wife, you know, we'd met. Oh, hi. you know, because we know it's his in-laws, Eric and Camille Wickstrom, very, very well. And it's strange how you see people that will go out and murder other people, take their lives. And then you see and then end up bizarrely in this, whatever he did to get himself killed. Or this guy up at Walmart,
yeah,
at the distribution center, who should have never had a gun because he was arrested for acting bizarrely with a semi-automatic weapon and a pistol that he was concealing illegally, and acting really bizarrely at a airport in Henderson, Nevada. and then he kills people. And then you have somebody like this who has a former Marine, serves our community, and he just passes away. You don't ever hear about him.
Do you think for just one minute we ought to stop and take a look at the we keep doing away with penalties and punishment for the criminals. We just keep going in that direction where what used to be a felony is now a misdemeanor. We're not punishing and we're not locking up criminals. We're just letting them go and we're doing.
Yes.
Do
absolutely.
You think maybe that's the problem rather than too many guns?
I think we need
to punish the people who commit the crimes instead of creating all new laws all the time that we don't enforce.
Absolutely. And I could go on and on about this because the two instances, neither one of them should have had access
that's
to
right.
firearms.
So no new law is going to solve that.
That's right. I drew this dichotomy between two guys who are in the paper all the time because they murder people, and another fine young man you never hear about.
That's right.
And he needs to be remembered. So, anyway, here's another guy that needs to be remembered, another first responder who, when everybody else is running away from fires, Chief Steve Lowe thinks it's a good idea to put on this really cool hat and run into the fire. Getting close. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. Thank you.
Hey, tell us how you got into firefighting.
It's kind of always been something I've wanted to do my whole life. Fortunately for me, I went to West Valley High School, and they have a great ROP program where in your junior year you get introduced to the beginning of the fire service through a school program. So it was part of my daily school program to actually go to school and learn to do firefighting things. And then my senior year, I continued with that program and began to do ride-alongs with the Anderson Fire Department, and it was something I fell in love with immediately and knew that's what I wanted to do the rest of my life. And fortunately for me, hard work and dedication working at the fire department there, they offered me a position as a seasonal right away, and I never left and been there ever since 2002.
Yeah.
Okay, so local boy. And now,
that's right.
Now you're the boss.
Yep.
Okay, I saw it.
And
saw,
doing a fantastic job, if I say
so. I saw a meme, since I have time to look at memes now. It said, it was a volunteer fire department, and it said, hey, long hours, risk your life, no pay, but you get to wear a great hat.
That is true. I did it for a long time for free, so I get that.
You know, I'm going to take an early break here, Steve, because I want to get into, right now we're starting a fire danger, and we've been having fires. I've been seeing been reading about them, watching the fire engines heading out probably three times in this past week. So I want to talk to you about the fire danger that we have right now. And, of course, what we can do to, mitigate that as much as possible. And then I want to kind of move into the 4th of July, which is right around the corner here. Is this the time of the year? I mean, dogs hate it, but this is the time of the year. I want to hear what you think about that, too. Not the fact that we're celebrating our greatest, celebration here, our independence. This portion of the show is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. You know what? River Commons Senior Living is one of those places you have to think, have I had enough of no toilet paper if this thing rolls around again, or my pipes burst, or I don't want to cut the grass. Well, this is not an assisted living facility. This is a senior living facility, premier retirement community, gourmet chefs, transportation all around town, a good place you can leave your stuff, and it's going to be safe if you want to travel and see the world. And they're very pet friendly. Learn more or even take a tour. by giving them a call at 238-5981 and talk to Brian. They're more than happy to talk to you about River Commons and why it is the premier retirement community. Worry less, smile more. River Commons Senior Living. We'll be right back with Chief Steve Lowe and Trish Larp.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460. 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio station. Good morning. The 2nd of July, it's 74 degrees out there, going up to close to 100 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, they've got the Da Vinci robotic system for using for certain operations they use. This system allows for a lot less invasive surgery, quicker recovery times. It's easier on the doctors who aren't having to stand over a patient for like 4 or 5 hours at a time. They're a lot more precise, which means that your recovery time is a lot quicker. And formerly, inpatient surgery is now outpatient surgery in many cases. So that's Shasta Regional Medical Center. They invested in that, and they invested in it for their patients. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Trish Clark and I are here with Chief Steve Lowe, who is the Anderson Fire Department Chief. And he's on his – is there a fire going on here, buddy? I see you on your phone. Don't tell me.
I was actually looking at, up for some statistics.
Okay. Chief, when – this is the – we're getting into the fire season. And we've already had – how many – I mean, 3 or 4 already, right?
There's been several. We've been having as a county as a whole, we have several fires a day.
Really?
You know, ranging from just a small spot all the way up to, you know, maybe a couple acres. Nothing catastrophic as of yet, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Thank God that we haven't had anything yet. But we're just now getting into that transitional period to where the grass is getting to the critical fuel levels all that. And we're seeing some windy days as we had last week. We had a couple days of red flag warning.
Right.
So we're just now getting into that time where we're starting to really ramp up and do our thing here.
Okay, when we say that, as we know, the car fire was so devastating, of course, the campfire was because of so much fuel out there. Are people mitigating better now? Or is the city and county, when I say the city of Redding, but is the county and the people in Anderson and Bernie and Redding and all of our small towns out here, are we doing better at that?
So I can only really speak for our jurisdiction. In 2018, prior to the car fire, I had introduced a resolution and ordinance to the fire board enhancing what we had as known as weed abatement. We would be able to go out and enforce noxious weeds, meaning dead dry grass, just during fire season, and try to get people to come into compliance with clearing the vegetation off and mowing. We enhanced it a little bit, and we call it an exterior hazard abatement ordinance. And it basically gives us the authority to come in, and if it's a fire hazard on your property, meaning dead and down trees or not having defensible space around your residence or a structure, and giving that buffer between you and your neighbor. So we have this ordinance that we can enforce now. We brought that to the fire board in early 2018, and it went into effect actually in August of 2018 because, you know, the government code, we have to go through the process. So I can say since then, I think our jurisdiction has been doing a very good job of getting that done. I can't speak on to what my counterparts are doing. I know that there's been some hiccups in the county with trying to get something done. I wouldn't say it's from a lack of trying. I think it's just they have different audience that they're trying to capture and a broader audience that they're trying to capture. So I think that to say that we're doing better is true, but we can always do even better.
And part of the problem is people don't recognize which jurisdiction they're in a lot of cases with the Anderson Fire Protection District, because we bump up against county property, we'll be abating on a piece of property, and right down the street, they're in the county and we're in the city of Anderson or in the Anderson Fire Protection District, and people wonder why their neighbors are not being forced to do what they're doing. So they need to figure out which jurisdiction they're in. We're very active, and the board is really on about let's get this done and keep our community safe. Makes a big difference.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, I look up there where the Anderson Walmart is, and it seems to be surrounded by a lot of open territory out there. There's a lot of grass and everything. Does somebody mow that or anything?
Yeah, so those are all – that's all private property.
Is that all private property?
And so if you've driven by recently, you'll notice that the owners have mowed. But, you know, it really takes us to actually send them a letter to remind them to mow, and I don't know why that is. I've asked some of our property owners in town of why they wait till we get the letter, and they said, oh, it's just a good reminder.
And they should put it on their calendar and just do it.
Would take it upon themselves that knowing that, hey, just, you know, even though you own it's just a bare lot, you still have the onus to mow it and keep it fire safe. And it really helps us out because when the grass is mowed down, you know, just down to a couple of inches, if a fire does start on that property, it keeps it from spreading fast, you know, and the higher the grass, the faster it's going to, you know, burn. And so I just wish people would be a little more proactive on their end and not rely on us so much to be their reminder. We have no problem doing that, but the more we focus on that property, it takes us away from time of going out and looking at the other
ones. What if I'm an elderly guy and I've got like 20 acres out there and I really can't get that cut? If I call the fire department, will the city or the fire department provide somebody out there to help mitigate this this fire danger?
So that's one of the things we're working on as an agency, and I've brought it up to some of my counterparts here in the county. We don't have a way as a government to come in and do that. We can't just come in and do it because it's a gift of taxpayer funds, so we can't just come in and provide that free service. We do have the arm in the enforcement side of things to where if we do not gain compliance through the government code, we can come in and actually put a lien on the property. We have to pay someone out of our own budget to come out and actually abate the hazard, and then we can go after the property owner to get it back. So
Wouldn't it make sense, though, that we have a fund that you can, you know, if somebody, you go out to them and say, hey, you've got like 25 acres here and it's overgrown. Yeah, but I can't afford to do so. I don't have any equipment for
it. Well, then sell the land. You're the property owner, and government isn't required to take care of your personal property.
So why don't you just put a lien on my property and take my property then?
Well, if they don't clean it up, you're going to take
other people's property, right, because he's elderly and he can't cut his grass?
He needs to sell it and get the money out of it.
That's tyrannical, and I, you know what? You want to have a protest? I'm going to be there, armed. You want to take that man's property?
So one of the things that we're working on, and I agree, it's kind of one of those things that we're so limited as government of what we can get done and how we can go about it. And so one of the things that I approached United Shasta with, is there a way that we can form a partnership? Obviously, we can't be the governing body of it as the government agency, but having a group of individuals that would want to start what they call a Firewise community, and they can start their own 501c3 and do fundraisers and all that, but have that ability to, you know, maybe have a governing board with that to put, you know, a group of five people together from the community that can review things, and people can submit things. Hey, I'm elderly. I can't get out there and mow and all that. And then they can go through a review process and find the people that truly have the need of either physical disability or financial disability.
Yeah. We did that throughout the county for a long time. We had groups. We had a great group up in Shingletown for a lot of times that were getting together and taking the property. Several people go out, go to those elderly people in the community, clean up their property and do it as a community, and that's the important
thing. See, you know, to me, if there ought to be, there should be like a fund there that if they can't do it, that we should be able to, it keeps our people and our environment safe by being able to knock that stuff down.
But shouldn't that be a community thing as opposed to the government thing?
I don't think it should be
a government thing. Government is not intended to be all things to all people.
They're trying.
And I agree, because I think that we as the fire department, we're not in the business of vegetation management. We're in the business of emergency response and that type of thing. But we definitely have a place at the table to help.
I would think
help with that. And that's one of the things. But it comes down to funding. I mean, talking with United Shasta, you know, they do a lot of great stuff in South County with cleaning up the homeless encampments and all that. But where does that money come from? It's them going out and getting donations.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot to go around. And manual labor is very expensive. You got to have all the equipment and everything. And you know, there's a little bit of liability.
Well, I know it's a lot easier to have these ideas than to put them into fruition. Yeah.
And
but I could just see, though, I mean, if I could see something like that happening, that there's a fund that, you know, somebody goes out with their mower and just knocks it down. But then again, now you're getting into other things where you have to take one of those grinders out there to start taking trees down. So,
yeah, and we did that in the city. We had a property that was quite the problem for a long time. And with our new ordinance and city code enforcement, we actually pushed on the property owner, presented our case to her, and the city was fortunate enough to get a special permit from Fish and Game, and we got to go out and they used a masticator and cleaned up along the creek on Anderson Creek. And that actually was a benefit to everybody because it was becoming a very tangled jungle out there for fires.
Sure.
But it also
with the homeless.
We were having several fires out there every summer due to the homeless transient activity out there. And so with that, it allowed us to be able to clear that up and make it look like a park. You can actually look from I-5 and see Barney Street now, which I don't know if we've ever been able to do that since I've been at Anderson Fire Department. So
see, there are ways of doing this. And it sounds like you're very proactive, Steve, on this. I hate to think that after the car fire, now all those areas that burnt, that we have grass and weeds and, you know, all that stuff again if it hasn't been cut down. I mean, there's still lawsuits over this one.
Yeah. And you know, it's tough because sometimes our hands are tied even though we have the ordinance that we have. We have an enforcement trigger with that. We can issue a criminal citation if we have to for compliance. We can do the lien process. But there is some properties that
even though we can get their information and we can send them a certified letter, but that we can never physically make contact with anybody to issue a citation. We can send it via mail, but we never hear back. So, I mean, there's just some things that, you know.
Absentee property owners are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So,
okay, we're here with Chief Steve Lowe from the Anderson Fire Department. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about why, you know, it's 4th of July, and even though we're not having big crowds, people have a tendency to shoot fireworks off. And, you know, what kind of day is that for us? This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. SST Oil, let's talk about fires. Where the firefighters are at up in the hills, on the plains, in the hills and dales, SST Oil is right there with them delivering gas, diesel, jet fuel for the helicopters, for the aircraft. They're there fighting too. They're when you have, they may not be on the front lines, but they're right behind, making sure that they have the fuel they need to fight fires. SST Oil also has a fuel card, CFN fuel card, that's good in over 60,000 places here in the United States. You can travel. It keeps track of your gas. It keeps track of easily, so they give you annotated invoice at the end of the month showing, you know, where, when, how much. So you can keep track of that, too, and just pay off at one time with places that get really good gas deals. That's SST Oil. Learn more by giving them a call at 241-1167 or stopping by 2370 Wyndham Lane, SST Oil. We'll be right back with Chief Steve Lowe of the Anderson Fire Department. I got a fever of 103. Come on, baby, do you do more than dance? I'm hot-blooded, hot-blooded.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality Sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides, your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. And now, during the lowest prices of the season, the Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 smart bed is only $12.99. Save $400, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In July, we're talking about getting your book into your target audience's hands, even if you're on a tight budget. August is Diagnosis Writer, which means we're taking a look at how to identify and solve common problems for many authors.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always write selfishly.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. The time is 8:35 in the morning here on the 2nd of July, and it is a whopping 77 already, and it's going to be going up to close to 100 today. Anything around 97 is close to 100. You know, I mean, hey, Carl said it was going to be 97, and right here it's 102. Yeah, it's going to be around 100 today. Weather Report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and this portion of the show is brought to you by the best barbershop in the world. Okay? You're saying, Carl, have you been to every barbershop in the world? Well, no, I haven't. But I have been in barbershops in like 10 different countries. All these different places have given haircuts, only in extremist operation type things. But it's Cypress Square Barbershop. Veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. It's they do things by they take appointments only. You give them a call at 244-9478 and get your appointment. And in the and in between each appointment, it's like 10 minutes where they sanitize everything in there. And it takes 10 minutes to do it. So then, but when you roll back in there, you know that the chair has been sanitized. You get a your own drape around, you know, to keep the hair off you and all these things. But they do it the right way, and they give great haircuts in their Man's Last Stronghold. That's the good thing. Man's Last Stronghold. You're not going to see Dr. Phil on the TV. Cypress Square Barbershop. Trish Clark and I are here with Chief Steve Lowe from the Anderson Police Department. And here we are.
Anderson Police Department?
I mean, and you know what? I've been
Anderson Fire Protection District.
That's what I meant. And I've been trying to avoid saying police department. I knew I was going to eventually at some point. Steve, the 4th of July is here. A great celebration of our country, even though we're going through a lot of weird stuff right now. 4th of July means fireworks in many places.
We're having fireworks here. Not in Shasta County.
We're having fireworks here, but they come under the auspices of McConnell Foundation, where they shoot them in the air, and we don't have nobody's going to see it except unless you know in your car someplace. But is this a big problem to you?
So every year this kicks off our really busy season. So generally the week up to 4th of July is when we really start ramping up. The Shasta Arson Task Force, we're actually doing a media demonstration today at 10 o'clock at Reading Fire Station 8. We invite the media to come out, and we do fireworks demonstrations. We bring all the fireworks that we've confiscated over the last year, and we do a little bit of demonstrations to show how unsafe they are, how quickly they can start a fire, and how much damage they can cause to the...
Just like a firecracker.
Yeah,
absolutely. If it goes in the wrong spot, there you go.
Absolutely, especially, you know, in our younger population. But 4th of July is actually one of our busier times. We see several fires started actually year-round now from fireworks. And so, you know, in Shasta County, all types of fireworks, including Safe and Sane, are 100% illegal. Just having them in your possession in Shasta County is a misdemeanor per Shasta County ordinance.
And you will be cited.
And I can say that myself and my counterparts here in the county, we do active patrolling during this time. We go out, and as we get complaints, we go try to see if we can find the source of the location. Sure. And there's people that call in on the tip lines and stuff to say, hey, my neighbors do fireworks throughout the year. And this is one of the busier times. And so, I'm with everybody. I want to celebrate the 4th of July, but we need to be safe. We have a history of large fires in Shasta County. The ordinance has been in place since, I believe, the 1970s, for this no fireworks.
I do agree with it. I get people's point that say, you know, if we ruin it in the neighborhood, we're safe and all that. But all it takes is for them to get in the hands of a juvenile, or, you know, that they don't know took them out in the backyard, or all it takes is one accident, oh, and we could have a catastrophic fire, or somebody's house burns down. And so, this time gets really busy for us. We're anticipating this year is going to be even busier just because everybody's been locked down due to COVID. And there's that threat currently of, are we going back to a lockdown? You know, which way are we going?
If you're in Southern California, you're getting locked.
Yeah. And so we're anticipating that people are kind of, you know, and with the civil unrest that's been going on, we're kind of anticipating that people are just ready to go out and enjoy themselves and get outside. And we're just hopeful that they don't bring their fireworks.
And it's confusing for people because they can go right across the county line on Bowman Road and buy safe and sane fireworks. And then they drive back across the county line, and now you're in Shasta County, and that's illegal.
Yep.
And people just don't seem to realize that. They go over, they buy them for their backyard barbecues and all those things, and if you get caught with them in Shasta County, they're illegal, and you will be cited.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I've heard this, and I know this could be an urban myth, that we fight fires differently now in the sense of, they used to let some fires get going and, you know, like at Lassen and a few other places, but now that whole philosophy has gone away.
You know, I can't speak for the United States Forest Service because they do have some stuff in their policy where they manage certain fires, like in the wilderness and type of the thing. But down here in the valley and with our counterparts with Cal Fire, it's suppression 100%. Just because every fire we get now is has the potential to become a catastrophic fire. And with people building further out into the urban wildland interfaces, you know, that threat is more prominent today. And I heard there's some legislation that's actually on the table right now in California to actually halt construction of new homes in the wildland and urban interface. So, look for that to be coming up here in the near future in the legislation. Whoa. So I heard that just a couple days ago. I got an email, and the city manager brought it up about the California League of Cities looking at it. So look for that. I heard that's coming down the pike. So
the prohibiting where you can build then. Are we using air assets a lot more or quicker now than we used to?
I would say yes. So within our jurisdiction, we don't have that ability right away. It has to become a major fire, or it has to be a direct threat to the state responsibility area, meaning the state Cal Fire jurisdiction, and then we can request aircraft. But I would say that yes, but it's because I think they're being more aggressive, trying to get stop these fires before they get bigger.
I talked to a forester several years ago, and she said, you know, we're going to have to start fighting fires completely different. Because the undergrowth is so huge, it gets so hot so fast, and it moves so fast that we used to be able to cut a fire line and have time for it to get to you. Now you've got to go over two more mountains, and you've got to start hitting them with air right away because just of the undergrowth.
Well, and that's because we spent so many years not managing the forest lands.
Absolutely.
We used to go in and we used to cut and harvest timber, and we'd clean up afterwards, and we'd go on and move on. And then we spent 20 years not burning anything, not doing anything, and not managing our forests, 20, 30 years. And now you've got such an undergrowth and fallen trees.
I'd say it's longer than 20 or 30 years.
Well, about 30 years.
And I would agree. I think that, you know, a lot of this is, you know, Shasta County is a perfect example. We had Snowmageddon almost, what was it, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
And, you know, we had people in arms at a board meeting one night because we had sent them an abatement letter. And it's like, you know, they're like, well, we're doing everything we can. And we got, you know, hit with Snowmageddon. We have so many dead and down. And I said, well, I understand that, but somebody files a complaint, we have to follow up on it, and we have to do our job too. We're not saying that we're going to come out and write you a ticket, but if you are working towards getting that end goal that we want, we're not going to just come out and, you know, drop the hammer on you. But, you know, it's like you said, it's been years and years and years of dead and down. It's just, it's a tinderbox. And so, but I would say, I mean, when people say that, oh, fire seasons are getting worse, and I've talked to some of the older firefighters that have been around way longer than I have, and they said that, you know, back in the 70s, they kind of saw the same thing, and then it kind of, we did some forest management and some that type of stuff, and then it kind of came back full circle. I think we need to do a better job as a whole.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. The CoGen plants That's a big way of doing it. You can take out all that brush and then and also provide electricity.
We can also cut timber, and it's a renewable resource. You can plant new trees, and then you can cut them again.
We're here with Chief Steve Lowe, the Anderson Fire Protection District. There you go. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
Club in my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's...
Let's see, coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill. Featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, we're starting to experience problems with the FM, but we called our service that sends a signal up there, and they're having intermittent problems up on the hill, or getting the signal, so it's going off and on, so we'll see what happens here. In fact, I'm having problems with my internet signal in the house, and they're supposed to come through and look at that. They're having all types of problems with this. So stay tuned if you can't hear us on 96.5 FM. We're going loud and proud on 1460 and also through our streaming online. Tomorrow, Congressman Doug LaMalfa will join us at 8 o'clock. At 7 o'clock will be Haven Humane with their Pet of the Week. And at 7:15, Dr. Paiush Dhanuka wants to talk about the 4th of July and what it means, this Independence Day. And I can't wait to have him on tomorrow to listen to this.
He has an interesting perspective on all these issues.
And all of these issues. Yeah. And somebody threw his hat in the ring to run for office, and he's such a nice guy. When he talked to me about it, I went, I think you're too nice for this. And, you know, because it's just ruthless out there.
He brought some really interesting prospects to the race, though. Very professional and had some great ideas.
I absolutely
supported him.
Hey, we're here with Chief Steve Lowe, who heads up the Anderson Fire Protection District. And, Steve, okay, as you said, this is where you start ramping up. You've been ramping up because this is the time of the year. The grass is dry, the winds are blowing, and now we have 4th of July. How can people help you?
People can help us, you know, by one, getting their defensible space, keeping their properties mowed and clear of debris and fire hazards. Obviously, the fireworks, no fireworks in Shasta County. And the biggest thing is if you see something, say something. If your neighbors are shooting off fireworks, you know, give us a call. Call 911, call APD dispatch. We'll get the information. But and also just being a good witness. If you see suspicious activity, if there's, you know, fires in your neighborhood, just be a good witness. But, you know, and help us. Don't get in our way. Don't try to block the road when we're coming in. You know, people think they're helping by blocking the road with their car because they think they're going to keep people from getting in, but it also hinders us from getting in. And, you know, keep the fire hydrants clear of parking. That we run into that from time to time, people parking in front of a fire hydrant. But, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, checking your smoke detectors to make sure they're working twice a year. But those little things that people don't really think about, those things really help us. So, you know, lots of things. You know, having a go bag ready, you know, and to be honest, not relying on everyone else to be that person for you, but being a little self-sufficient so that way when we get there, we can go right to work and not have to do something for you. So
right. Listen to the emergency alerts.
Sign up for Code Red.
Sign up for Code Red. That's a big thing because if you're in that area, they're going to call you.
Yeah, and Code Red's a great system. And you know, I heard from, you know, a few of the fires, people were upset because they didn't get notified early enough by Code Red. Well, sometimes by the time we show up, by the time we're actually notified of an incident and we get there and we realize to the magnitude it is that we have to issue a Code Red, so we're behind the eight ball. So it's not that we didn't do it or that we did it in a non-timely fashion. Is that sometimes, you know, these events that we go to are rapidly evolving, and sometimes we're way behind the eight ball. So
are you using technology to help fight fires? In the sense of I'm looking at drones.
So currently we are not using drones. I know some of the bigger cities in the Bay Area are using drones for reconnaissance and that type of thing. We probably won't up here. For one, we're in the flight path of the Reading Airport, and so there's a lot of extra certification you have to go through for that. And then also with our partner Cal Fire, they have aircraft that's stationed right here in Reading, and anytime there's drones in the area, they cannot fly, 100% cannot fly. So that's the other thing is if you have a drone and there's a fire, please do not fly it over
keep
the fire.
Keep your drone out of there. I've seen where they've stopped the drops because of this.
And I would say that there is an asset to that because we have had some small fires in Anderson where APD has used their drone and gone over the fire for us and got us a little reconnaissance, and that's a great tool. But when you get into the wildland fire stuff here with Shasta County and aircraft with Cal Fire, it's just not a good idea.
And a good portion of the year, there's flights coming in and out of the airport.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Hello.
Yep, you're on.
Yeah, hey, this is Jim. Hey, I wanted to ask the fire chief, as when we had volunteer fire departments, we didn't have nearly the problem we have now that we have paid fire departments for getting fires out. We never had fires run as big like we had the car fire and stuff like that happen when they had volunteer fire departments.
So you think that if we need more fire departments out there, more volunteer fire departments, Jim?
Well, we need to put the volunteer fire departments need to come back in and have and work with the paid fire departments, but Cal Fire won't allow.
Okay.
Well, Jim, I would agree with you that the volunteers have gone away. I started as a volunteer back when I was in high school with the Anderson Fire Department.
One of the reasons that we have an issue with getting volunteers, and Shasta County Fire will tell you the same thing, is the restrictions in California to actually go to fire calls now is you have to have pretty much the same training as a paid professional. So the days of the volunteers that worked at the mill and when they were on their days off, they were hanging around the fire station and going to calls is pretty much over. Shasta County Fire is seeing an issue with just keeping people qualified and keeping the younger crowd interested in donating their time for free, because at the end of the day, they're not getting paid. And then, you know, if you're going to put yourself through all that training and dedicate all that time to get these certifications, you might as well make a career out of it. So that's one of the reasons why we have a hard time with the volunteer side.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's the wrong thing for the state, the government team put on the people to make them be trained like that in order to even be a volunteer fire department, firefighter, because just take a guy for what he's worth and let him go at that, and not, instead of making him go off to all that stuff there.
Yeah, Jim, that was a good point, though. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
You know what? Because there's the Bella Vista Volunteer Fire Department, isn't there?
There is. They're with Shasta County Fire. They do a great job. They're one of the busier volunteer companies in the county, and I know several of those guys out there have known them for a long time. They do a great job, but again, you know, they...
Was part of this because of unions?
No.
The reason I'm saying that is... if you have volunteer fire departments, maybe you don't need as many firefighters, you know, because you've got so many in there. And we know how strong the unions are in this state that, you know, they say, well, if we put all this on them, they might as well be firefighters.
Yeah, and most of those restrictions I had mentioned previously when Jim called in, those are state mandates. You have to have certain types of training and so many hours to
And continual.
It's not just a one time and you're done. It's annual training. We just finished in May. We finished all of our updated fire season training. So all of our firefighters, including myself, have to go through what they call RT-130. It's refresher training for wildland firefighting. We have to practice fire shelters, cutting hand line, putting in hose lays, mobile attack, communications, working with aircraft and all that, and it's very time consuming. It takes us probably a good couple weeks to get all of the paperwork side of things or the in-classroom training done, and then actually going out in the field and practicing all those. And you have to be proficient at it. You have to know what you're doing.
And volunteers are required to have the same thing.
Yeah. And it even goes a step further. When you go on strike team assignments, as they call, when we get these major fires and they group fire engines together and they go out to fight these big fires together, those people have to be vetted and have to be trained and signed off by their chief, because if they get injured or get in a position where they burn a fire engine up or anything, there's going to be an accident review team that comes out, and it goes back to that department to find out if they had the proper training, if they were qualified to even be in the position they were going to be out there. So that explains it. It's a tough business. I totally get it with Jim. I wish we had the volunteer. When I first started, Anderson Fire had 25 dedicated volunteers that the drop of the hat, they would be there. We would staff 4 and 5 engines on a good working fire. But as time went on, the people that were dedicated to doing the volunteer kind of went away because the requirements were getting too much and they were aging out. And then you get the younger crowd that was coming in. They don't have the sense of community, volunteerism and all that we used to see. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, and like I said, if they're going to put themselves through a fire academy and dedicate all that time, they might as well go work for a fire agency and make a good living.
Okay.
So the Shasta County Fire Department was made up of volunteer firefighters throughout the county.
Well, let me say this. First of all, I want to, you know, extend our appreciation out to you and all your firefighters, all the firefighters out there for what you do. We kid around about, you know, they're, you know, the best fed public employees out there, and that and that police are always jealous of firefighters.
That is true.
That is. But we do so much appreciate what you all do, because, as I said right at the beginning, when everybody's trying to get away from danger, you guys are going straight in. I have to ask this question, though. Have you ever had a car that's been parked in front of a fire hydrant where you bust the windows out?
I have had cars parked in front of a fire hydrant, but we actually went around.
Okay.
But that, yes, you are correct. That is something that is discussed in the firehouse all the time.
I saw that in Backdraft. Where they said, yes. Oh, it's a Mercedes. Oh, he's parked here. They just busted out the
window.
And
I see it from time to time on social media from other agencies that have done that. So, but I can say in my career, I've seen a car parked in front of a hydrant, and we actually put hose around it. It was just at a good enough angle we could get around it without causing any damage.
Okay.
But,
Hey, Steve, again, thank you so much for what you do.
Thanks for
joining us today. Everybody, this is fire season. Get ready.
Be vigilant. And I would say one thing, if anybody has any questions for our agency about the exterior hazard abatement program that we talked about, you can go to our website, and the full ordinance is posted on there. If you'd like to make a complaint, you can call the office at the, on the business line and make a complaint, or you can submit a complaint online. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We try to put up-to-date information regarding, you know, if there's new COVID stuff. We just did a post yesterday jointly with the Anderson Police Department about fireworks and fireworks enforcement and what that's going to look like. And then any type of fire activity for our agency, we try to post it on there to keep the public up to date. So it's not monitored 24/7. We apologize, but
no, it's okay.
We try to get information.
One last thing, too. So many people going out to the lakes this weekend, going out camping, taking a three-day weekend starting tomorrow. Check the chains on your trailer, that you've got them up tight.
Absolutely. We get several fires every year that are started because of lack of maintenance on a trailer. For one, you lose a wheel bearing or you blow a tire or just dragging a chain. So if you're even just towing a trailer around town, please just double check to make sure your chains are properly tightened on the trailer and that you've serviced your trailer appropriately, because I can tell you this time of year you will probably get a citation.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you should. And stop throwing cigarettes out the window.
Absolutely.
Okay, hey, we got to run tomorrow. Congressman LaMalfa and Dr. Pius Danuka. Everybody have a